Okay. City Council will come back from recess. We have a holdover item from the morning session that we will deal with first. I appreciate the patience and perseverance of Mr. Wyatt. Carla, can you please read council calendar item?
Call the roll first.
Oh, yeah. Let's call the roll.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 1375?
Support retention of international air service to Portland International Airport and allocate funds to assist the Port of Portland and State of Oregon in this retention initiative.
For those of you that missed my introductory speech this morning, it was amazing.
One for the ages, Mayor. And Bill, it seems like you've been with us all day. What's up, man?
I think half the room stood. Of course, it was just Lisa and Bill that were in the
sorry,
room.
Sorry, Bill. I was lunch. I have to give you just a simple explanation. I wanted to get to three.
I think we're getting to four today, sir.
Great. Well, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. And just to kind of recap the comments that you made this morning, because I think it helps place this matter in context. About a decade ago, I at the time I was chief of staff to our state's governor, and you were chief of staff to the then Mayor Katz. And we and our community were watching the wind down of what was then one of the largest gateways, aviation gateways to Asia in the United States, operated then by Delta Airlines from here to Tokyo, and actually to multiple destinations. At one time, I think 8 wide-body aircraft would fly out every day from Portland to various destinations in Asia. For a variety of reasons, that service really began to dwindle and decline, having to do with changes in technology, in international air service agreements, and so forth. But I remember very well the day the headline appeared in the paper announcing the discontinuation of all service from Portland to Asia. And it was not a happy occasion, I think, for any of us, and particularly for those businesses in our community who depend on these services, both for passenger services and air cargo as well. And at that time, Mayor Katz joined with Mayor Pollard of Vancouver, created the International Air Service Committee, supported by the Port of Portland, but clearly making the statement that these services were important to the region at large, and not just to the Port of Portland or to the airport. And we began the diligent process of recruiting International Air Service. And frankly, all things considered, have had a pretty good run. I can tell you now, as the executive director of the port, it's an expensive run. Recruiting is expensive because you're asking people to make multi-million dollar business investment decisions, essentially, without much of a track record to demonstrate the potential for success. Beginning with Lufthansa and then with Mexicana, Northwest Airlines, which now has morphed into Delta Airlines. And as a result, primarily of the recession, we're in a position now where we have one airline providing service to continental Europe and one airline providing service to continental Asia, Delta. And there are some advantages in that, certainly some synergies. They use the same aircraft type, same mileage programs, and so forth and so on. But just to kind of put this in context, the precariousness of this, I think PDX is the 34th largest airport in the United States, but we're one of only 12 cities with nonstop service to Europe and nonstop service to Asia. Since we made our initial investment here a couple of months ago in Delta's Tokyo service, useful to note that they have dropped nonstop service from Salt Lake City, which is a major Delta hub, and they've eliminated all of their international service from Cincinnati. And I think if we had not been as aggressive as we were at the time, that would have been us probably, and we would be left without service at all. So this long and winding road brings us here today. In addition to the specific agreement that we have with Delta on their Tokyo service, we have initiated a program to essentially forego landing fees for any carrier providing international service. We are not in a position to discriminate among carriers providing international service, so it applies to any of them. The FAA tightly regulates airport operators, and you know there are basic rules about the airport. If you make money at the airport, the money stays at the airport. And if you take money from airlines, you don't use it to benefit one line over another. And so we've created this landing fee waiver program, and that really is the genesis for the resolution that you have before you today to participate in that, along with the state and the port. This will generate, all told, about a $900,000 program, which will allow us to offer essentially free landing to Delta and also to Air China Cargo, which is a little known but very important service that we have, which takes exports from here to Beijing, Shanghai, and then from there to various other points in Asia. It's an important service, but also because of the economy really suffering. These carriers are losing, you know, billions of dollars. So I feel very fortunate that we have the service we do, and I think we have a reasonable prospect of retaining them. If I didn't, we wouldn't be making these initiatives. These are services that have been successful in the past. The question is, can we see them through to a time when the economy generates more activity? And that's really the calculation here. So I'm my sense of that is we can. And if we can, or if we think we can, it is really worth the effort to do that as opposed to having to start all over again. Because I can tell you from personal experience, the first question you have to answer if you're out recruiting is, why did they leave? And that, you know, it's not a great way to start a recruiting conversation. And so our hope is to sustain this for our community and for those businesses in our community, and they are many, who really either depend upon or are heavily dependent upon the existence of these nonstop services. So I appreciate your leadership in this. We go back a long ways on this topic and really almost from the beginning, and it's been a long and winding and I would say largely successful road. This is a unique moment in time that hopefully allows us to get through a difficult period this winter, and hopefully by spring we'll see a better climate. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Bill, thanks for hanging around today.
Yeah, you bet.
The two questions. One is, how many jobs do you estimate are impacted directly or indirectly by virtue of retaining this service here in the Portland metro area?
You know, the direct jobs are, you know, this is a little bit of a thumb in the air, but I think it's probably over 1,000 jobs that are directly affected in one way or another by the existence of the service, but indirectly many more, actually. There are, just to give you a little thumbnail, there are 10,000 people who get up every day and go to work at the airport, specifically on the site. Up.
Lise Blancy.
Update. Direct jobs.
Would you come forward, Lise, and
she's
testify?
Good. She's the court's secret weapon. Thank you.
Direct jobs, 1,190. Induced, 543. And indirect jobs, 758. So it's a considerable number.
And And that speaks to the, by the way, my assumption is most of those jobs are the good family wage jobs we're trying to capture.
Correct.
And many of them are actually union jobs.
Yeah, correct.
What would it mean, and I know you've been through this before in the past, but what would it mean if we got back to a point where it said Portland Airport, not Portland International Airport? What does that mean for our profile, for what you're trying to do through the port and for our region?
When I was selected for this position, Portland International Airport was international by virtue of a twice daily flight to Vancouver, Canada, which many Americans probably don't consider to qualify. But I have, and the reason why our organization and we put so much energy into this is because when I began, I did a tour around to regional businesses. Think Freightliner, a very good and recent example, Nike, Adidas, Intel, Tech, and so on and so forth, many of the service companies, ZGF, which has a huge international portfolio. And all of them said, before anything else was discussed, they wanted international air service, very, very important to them. And the importance really has to do with people who maybe take one of these flights once, twice, sometimes three times a month, if you can imagine that. The wear and tear, the additional time, huge. For companies that are looking at locating in a place like Portland, for example, and for whom an international portfolio is a part of their business, having these nonstop flights makes choices like this very easy. You heard a pretty interesting example this morning from the Bilfinger firm, which is over in Vancouver, and I hear these kinds of things all the time. I saw the president of Freightliner on the last day of Lufthansa's service. He just coincidentally was a passenger on the plane, and he said, well, this is really disappointing, but we'll find a way to make it work on Delta through Amsterdam. So I think this is a bit of a ramble, but the truth is, without these services and without much hope for these kinds of services, it really takes a big slice out of this community and this region's aspiration to be connected to the world and to be part of this larger global economy. And I think were we to lose these services, the prospect for replacing them is grim. It's going to be difficult. Not impossible, but certainly very, very difficult.
Thank you.
Other discussion?
Can I raise one other matter, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
It's not getting the look, so I'll be quick. It's not directly related.
You're getting two looks.
And Bill, I am reading,
three looks, actually.
I'm looking at there's many looks. But
since you've got me here.
I have you here. And since I'm going to support this in any event, can I just put a marker down on something that's not related to this and ask for your help? This Friday, the mayor and I are kicking off an Oregon Solutions project to find a way to greatly expand our capacity of community gardens.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing 35 different stakeholders together. It's something that's a priority for the city, priority for the county. And it just so happens that, according to the Diggable Cities report, some other things we've looked at, the port actually has some very attractive surplus property that could potentially be used for community gardens down
before
the road.
Before you commit your vote.
I already said I had. I already committed my vote.
So that's what we
all I want to do is just ask if you would be willing to partner with us in this and be open to exploring.
You bet. We'll definitely participate. I think, as you know, the land we're probably talking about is by the airport, so it's going to be important that it be, whatever occur, be consistent with the port's wildlife management policy, because it's an airport, and we have to be obviously very sensitive to anything that occurs out there which can attract wildlife and birds, which interact in unfortunate ways with airplanes. But we would be happy to partner and to participate in that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. White. Really appreciate your ongoing leadership in keeping the state's Port of Portland very, very competitive. Thank you. And thanks to you, Lisa, as well. Unless there is anyone that wishes to testify on this matter, sir, yes, please come forward.
Bill Kendricks, a retired Portland Fire Lieutenant.
Oh, well, welcome, Mr. Kendricks. Glad you're here. I'd thank you for your perseverance and for waiting.
OK.
Okay. My name is Bill Kendricks, and I live at 9215 Northeast Levy Road out near the airport. But the reason why I wanted to speak on this subject, I'm a small business owner here in the city of Portland. And I support this resolution, but I'd like to see something in there to encourage large businesses to work more with small businesses in the community. You know, this is we're in some tough economic times, and small businesses are really hit hard. So from what Mr. Wyatt is saying, I understand that. But from a small business standpoint, I think the council needs to be more innovative, encouraging these large companies to work with small businesses, because we provide jobs, we help provide economic growth within the community. So I think on an international level, it's important that the council be creative in the way they do business with making decisions when it comes to this resolution. So I hope that you would attach something in this resolution to encourage this company to work more with local small businesses.
Well, Mr. Kendall, I really appreciate your point of view, and I know it's shared by everyone here on council. If you would pop up to the mayor's office and ask to talk to Kimberly Schneider. We have a whole area of endeavor to do exactly what you're saying. And I know that it's as is the expectation for any business that gets a benefit from the city of Portland, that is no more true for the Port of Portland. So if you could pop up and talk to Kimberly Schneider, and we'll get you plugged into our efforts in promoting buy local. We just, this council 3 months ago, recently updated our procurement process to provide as many incentives on the city's procurement to buy local that we are legally allowed. Part of the problem we have is federal and state law prevents us from, well, we've done everything we can, our attorneys say, under state and federal law to require local purchasing agreements. So, but Kimberly can plug you into other advocacy efforts that are underway.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall.
Kendricks,
thank you. And say hello to your spouse. All right, unless anyone else wants to testify, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Well, this is a very appropriate thing for the city to do that is only happening because of the leadership of Bill Wyatt and his team, and the leadership of the mayor and his team that connect the dots between how you create business. And we can't do it by ourselves, and the port can't do it by itself, and the county can't do it by itself, and the state can't do it by itself, and the region can't do it by itself. We do it by acting as partners. So I'm very thrilled that everybody that is in the leadership positions that they are at the city and the port recognize the importance of this as an investment. It's not a cost, and it's an investment that provides jobs, opportunities, and exposures for our, not just city, but if you think about it, between San Francisco and Seattle, this is the other international stop that people make for the region. So this is a very significant thing that we're doing. I appreciate it very much. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I especially appreciate Commissioner Fish's question about jobs. And to me, this is all about jobs, both local jobs and attracting international business jobs. My son used to, when he was going through college, worked unloading cargo at PDX and also cleaning out the Lufthansa planes that came in from Germany. And, of course, now those are no longer coming in, and that impacted jobs right here in Portland. I think it's important to recognize that this is $300,000 of money that was already allocated to help support the Port of Portland and PDX, that it wasn't needed for local flights from Coos Bay. And so although it could go back into the general fund, it's needed at the port for a different reason. And so it's to me, it makes sense to allocate it to that. Also that it's a combined subsidy, that the state is kicking in over $1 million and the port has $3.5 million. So this is actually the city of Portland stepping up to say, yes, we appreciate the support of the rest of the state and that what the port is doing, and that we are going to put in some of our money to back up what we support. And on a personal level, and I spoke this morning about personal responsibility and what each of us needs to do to support healthcare reform in the United States. And I, in the past, when I fly home to England, have flown to Seattle and then to London because that's this country which I love and the other country which I love, and I don't have to go to any other country. When I fly back in February for my mom's 80th birthday, I'm going to be taking Portland to Amsterdam because it's important to support with our dollars, our spending dollars, the values that we believe in. And similarly, I have family who come here, and so I understand how it is for Europeans to think about having to change planes in Newark or in Minneapolis or even in Seattle, that then to have to get onto another plane to come here to Portland. It's another factor which might make people not want to come here either for business or for recreational travel. So this is really important for multiple reasons, and I really appreciate the work of the port in bringing this resolution and the mayor in leading it. Aye.
Fish?
Well, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures, and I thought Bill's testimony was very compelling. There's a temptation during tough times to think short-term, not long-term. And I think this is an example where we need to think long-term, and our long-term economic future depends on these relationships, not just outside of our borders in this country, but globally, as the global economy becomes so important. So this, to me, looks like a smart bet. It will produce jobs and keep good-paying jobs. And I think it's an example of the state, the port, and the city council working together on something which benefits Oregon. And I don't actually think we get enough credit for the extent to which we work collaboratively with our regional partners and with state government. So this makes a lot of sense to me. And I, for one, would hate to see the international drop from our airport. And so I'm enthusiastically in favor of this, and I join with Commissioner Leonard in complimenting the mayor for his leadership on this point. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I thank you for the kind words, and I again recognize Lise Glancy and Bill Wyatt and the management team at the port, but want to make it really clear. This city council, since the middle of last year, has aggressively made investments and changes in our operations. We've cut expenditures in some areas to put more into housing and homelessness, to put more money out on the streets to help small business. This city council has been assertive and aggressive in doing everything we can to limit the impact on Portlanders and folks in this region, to limit the impact of this global recession. And I'm really proud to serve with my colleagues on the city council as we seek to do our very best. Thank you. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for resolution number 1378?
Endorse the Community Workforce Agreement on Standards and Community Benefits in the Clean Energy Works Portland Pilot Program.
So in July, the City Council approved a resolution that created the Clean Energy Works Program, and it is a public-private nonprofit effort of Shorebank Enterprise Cascadia, Energy Trust of Oregon, Northwest Natural, PGE, Pacific Power, Work Systems, Inc., and Multnomah County. And just this morning, I'm very pleased to announce that the very esteemed Green for All national nonprofit has also signed on as a founding partner of our effort, and we're going to hear from some folks in a few minutes. Julian Mosin from Green for All. Hey, Julian. Welcome. But when we established the Clean Energy Works Program, which is a pilot project of 500 homes that we provide low-cost on-bill financing for, we also talked about the need to develop a community agreement about, as we create this new industry, as we fortify this new industry of clean technology retrofits, initially with homes, hopefully moving to commercial and industrial after that, that we would do so in a way that was in keeping with our values. And I think that in the intervening time, the fact that the Urban League's report came out on the state of Black Oregon that showed that over the past 17 years, there's been absolutely no progress for Black Oregonians economically is a reminder at how important these community workforce agreements are. It is a collaboration between organized labor, community-based organizations, members of the faith community, our workforce investment board, contractors, the Energy Trust, and many more. There's a long list of people, many of which I see in the room, that have been our partners in putting this together. I would especially want to thank city staff, Jerry Williams, Judith Mallory from ONI, Christine Moody, Loretta Young, and Gene Jackson from the Bureau of Purchases. And one of the key partnerships on the council has been with Commissioner Fish and his staff as we put together the Fair Contracting and Workforce Oversight Committee with the Croson Disparity Study. So before we end, I'll read through the list of thank yous. It's a long list, but worth mentioning for the record. But for now, I would ask that Susan Anderson and Derek Smith give us an overview of what's in the Community Partnership Workforce Agreement.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We will be brief because there are a lot of partners here, and that's really what this is all about. This is a first step in what really is a huge job strategy. A lot of people think that weatherization is about is an environmental program, that it's about greenhouse gas reduction, and it is. But in this case, we're focusing on how many jobs can really be created because of the project. The project is a 500-home pilot. We started it a few months ago. Participants pay nothing up front and pay back the loan on their utility bill. PGE, Pacific Power, Northwest Natural, they've all been great partners, and we signed up and we came to council about 2 months ago to talk about that partnership. Shorebank Enterprise Cascadia is our financial institution. They are keeping the money flowing, and we have just literally a couple dozen other partners, who some of whom are here today. So the Community Workforce Agreement is it's a new piece in terms of the kind of work that we're doing. The Energy Trust here in Oregon, the State Department of Energy, and similar agencies throughout the United States have been doing this work for a long time, and they've spent a lot of time looking at how what we understand here in Portland really well, that you can't have a healthy environment without a healthy economy, and those things go together. But we rarely add in that third piece, and that piece is social equity, making sure that we create those jobs and that we create opportunity for all workers. So really what we've done here today is tried to take this theme of sustainability, make it real, make it beyond just an environmental movement, and looking at opportunity for all people here in Portland. Derek Smith has been the engine behind this project. None of this really would have happened if I hadn't had coffee with him about a year ago and say, hey, do you want to work on a project for 2 or 3 months? I have a little bit of funding. Who knew that since then we'd be able to attract the millions of dollars that we have to this project? And hopefully we'll be back in a few months with another announcement where we've been able to attract, I probably just ruined it, attract a lot more money to the effort. Derek will provide a little bit of detail on the agreement, and then several partners are here also to provide their perspectives.
Derek Smith, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Mayor, for your support and leadership throughout this process. Before we get started, I'll just announce that we do have a substitute attachment, which the only change being that it reflects the complete list of expected signatories today.
I move approval of the substitute attachment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the vote on the substitution.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitute approved.
Thank you. So I'd just like to take a quick moment just to describe who all was involved in this process and how we got to this agreement. And I'll let those providing testimony after me describe some of the content and what it means for their organizations and our community. So for 5 meetings held throughout the summer, we brought together approximately 50 stakeholders representing labor unions, community groups, contractors, and others to discuss this public investment opportunity, Clean Energy Works Portland, and what standards and community benefits should be featured in this project. We had an incredible facilitation team that included the city's own Jerry Williams and Judith Mowry from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, John Gardner from CAUSE and Work Systems, Debbie Menasche from the Energy Trust, Barbara Bird from Oregon AFL-CIO, and Jeremy Hayes from Green for All, with whom we are also announcing today a partnership about taking this effort to scale, as was mentioned by the mayor. I want to thank all of them. We couldn't have done this without them. And I also want to deeply thank all the stakeholders involved, many of whom you'll hear from today. We had an incredible mix of talent and passion and a consistent tone of civility that led to a breakthrough approach to this unique contracting scenario. So we have a document now. It's a playbook for moving forward, but we also have a process and a structure with a committee that'll be appointed by the mayor to begin work, ideally next week, to help the city and the Energy Trust act upon the goals outlined in this agreement, and then make recommendations about how we take this idea in this pilot to scale. And most importantly, perhaps, we have a renewed and shared commitment to build bridges among historically distant actors to truly create this inclusive clean energy economy that we all want. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to call up, we have three panels of invited testimony. The first would be Julian Massine McQueen from Green for All, Margie Harris from Energy Trust, and the Reverend Terry Moe from MACG. Thank you for being here today, and thanks for your great work on this, the Energy Trust. You've been at this for a very long time, and we stand on your shoulders in many ways. Julian, why don't you begin?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Julian Mosin McQueen, and I work at Green for All. I work on a project called Green the Block, and it's a national education and awareness campaign around developing a green economy. And I'm here today to read a statement on behalf of Phaedra Ellis-Lampkins, who is our CEO, and she sends her regrets and her regards and is sorry that she can't make it today.
She also sent a signed MOU, so I'm very happy about that.
That's what's up. Sounds good. Before I read that, I just want to say personally, in my position, I have the opportunity and the privilege to travel around the country and talk to different communities and people about not only the issues that we face environmentally, but if we address those issues, the opportunity that's presented there. And at Green for All, we talk about creating an inclusive green economy strong enough to lift people out of poverty. And the reaction is always one of great excitement. How can I help? Sounds great. Let's do it. And then the first question is always, cool, so what does that look like? How does that done? And I think today, you all here in Portland, the community of Portland, is presented with such a wonderful opportunity to answer that question in a really smart and in a really bold way. And I think that's exciting for Portland. It's really exciting for me because now I'll have such a good answer to take with me in my travels. And forgive me when your phones start ringing off the hook with people from Kansas City and Detroit and New Orleans and everywhere else. So now I'd like to read a statement from Phaedra. Hello, I'd like to start by thanking you for allowing me to deliver this statement, and I regret that I could not make it here in person, but I'm grateful that I am able to participate in this exciting day. I would like to thank the city, Mayor Adams, and all the stakeholder groups for their leadership and spirit of collaboration. It is your hard work and clear vision that have created this moment, which I am thrilled for Green for All to share a part in. The vote that the Portland City Council takes today is important not just to the city of Portland, but to the entire country. Portland is on the verge of establishing one of the nation's leading models for how to put Americans to work, doing the work that most needs to be done. The work of transitioning from the dirty, pollution-based economy of the last century to the clean and green economy of the new one. This will also be one of the nation's leading models for how to use Recovery Act funds, not just to stimulate short-term economic activity, but to lay the foundation for long-term economic, environmental, and community health. This vote is yet another pioneering step for Portland, which has already developed an innovative approach to energy efficiency retrofits that includes on-bill financing and the potential to scale up to improve tens of thousands of homes. Now again, Portland is on the verge of something special. This community workforce agreement will cut energy bills while creating green jobs, will reduce pollution while expanding business opportunities, will ensure the Recovery Act investments reach those who most need an economic recovery, those hardest hit by this recession. Green for All is incredibly proud to be involved with this project. This agreement is good for Portland residents. Starting with the 500 homes in the pilot phase and then scaling to 100,000 homes, Portland will make its homes more energy efficient, which means lower energy bills for residents. This agreement will save families money in these hard economic times and into the future. This agreement is good for Portland businesses. It supports training programs and business development so that smaller local firms can establish themselves in this brand new market. It creates immediate and long-term opportunities for Portland entrepreneurs. This agreement is good for Portland workers. Investing in energy efficiency retrofits create jobs for workers who perform those retrofits. The community workforce agreement ensures that those jobs are quality, family-supporting jobs. Just as importantly, it ensures that these jobs are broadly accessible to low-income communities, communities of color, women, and other populations who are looking for good jobs in construction and building trades. This agreement is good for the greater Portland community. One of the most exciting things about this community workforce agreement is the story behind it. The city brought together so much of the community to help craft this agreement, from community groups to labor unions, to contractors to civil rights organizations, to training providers, to city and state agencies. Everyone worked together to identify the project's goals and the specific ways that they would continue to work together to meet those goals. And of course, this agreement is good for the planet as it reduces the amount of energy we need to live our daily lives. Less energy means less pollution, less global warming, less danger for us all. Portland is showing the entire country how to move forward with a new model for economic growth that is good for families, workers, business, and the environment. We are excited to be a part of this project and are confident that other cities across the country will be just as excited to endeavor similar projects. The ability of the groups involved to work together to meet each other's needs is a testament to the best we can be as communities. Green for All has been honored to work with the City of Portland to establish this community workforce agreement, and we look forward to working with you after today's vote to make this project a national model. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for helping source for us and identify for us all the lessons learned around the country that's really helped us perfect what we're doing here. So thank you.
Yeah, thank
Margie.
You.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and members of the City Council. I'm Margie Harris with the Energy Trust of Oregon. I'm very pleased to be included in the City of Portland's Clean Energy Works pilot project and the Community Workforce Agreement that supports it. We embrace this opportunity to build a robust and a very inclusive and diverse green economy here in our city and beyond. We share the vision that you just shared regarding a clean energy workforce that fully reflects the diversity of our citizens. It's a much-needed and a very welcome dimension of the kind of work that many of us have been committed to on energy efficiency for quite some time. We believe the agreement will lead to a larger and a well-trained and fully capable workforce who will install energy efficiency measures and deliver greater benefits to city residents and beyond. I'm particularly pleased that several of our trade allies, the people we rely on to deliver and install the services, are part of the team that contributed to the Community Workforce Agreement. It includes Ecotech, Sustainable Solutions, and Neil Kelly. They've been here in these chambers prior to now. It's wonderful to see the industry itself welcome and embrace these new initiatives to developing the workforce that we all need to meet the clean energy work long-term goals. We applaud all the community organizations, along with Mayor Adams and the council and the other Clean Energy Works Portland partners for their vision and their leadership, and all of that has contributed to this very day. And we look forward to working with you to accomplish very great work together for the benefit of us all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Reverend Moe.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, city commissioners, guests, Terry Moe, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Northeast Portland, and the leader with Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good, an alliance of labor, religious institutions, and community-based organizations working for the common good. We've been privileged to be at the table from the very beginning and are excited to be here this day to congratulate you and our community partners for all the good work that's gone to this stage so that this community workforce agreement can move us forward to the eventual scale-up with the same equity goals for jobs. Most of you know that we're a member organization, and we consult and listen to our members very carefully. And as we listened, we heard three concerns around the environment, certainly to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions, but also energy costs that were rising for some of our middle class and poorer members, and certainly the need for high quality living wage jobs and career paths. And we believe that these are beginning to be addressed in the community workforce agreement, at least the jobs part, and certainly the energy efficiency part as we work towards that goal of 40% reduction in global greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Take a breath. Whew. That is a lofty goal, and I understand that Seattle also has a similar goal. Our sister organizations in Washington are working aggressively now to do about 4,000 pilot projects in several counties, and we're looking forward to including that data with the City of Portland's 500-member pilot project as we move forward so that we can learn from each other. So again, congratulations, and we are delighted to be here for this ceremony and to sign the document along with our newly formed regional nonprofit, Sustainable Works. And we're eager to continue this work through the pilot and into the scale-up. So thank you very much.
Well, I just want to thank MACG, you and MACG, and all the leadership and staff of MACG for you have been here at the very beginning, even before the beginning of our efforts on clean energy work. So thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
The next three will be John Steffens from the Carpenters Union, Maurice Remig from NAMCO, and Roberta Hunt from Oregon Tradeswomen. Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. John, do you want to start?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and council members, I'm John Steffens. I'm the director for the Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute. As a program, I believe that this has tremendous opportunity for accomplishing the needs of our community. Energy efficiency, workforce development, diversity in the workplace, and training, but also a pathway for careers that will have good-paying jobs and healthcare benefits. Our organization applauds all that we're involved in, and we're very proud to be part of that. Part of that inclusive and progressive committee, we agree that what Portland is doing will be a model and will rise up, and the rest of the country will take notice of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. Mr. Raming?
Hi, I'm Maurice Raming, president of NAMAC, and I'd like to thank you guys for inviting us here. One of the things that I like to say about the program is that we have the opportunity here to have a more diverse construction base. Construction historically has been underutilized for minorities and women. I believe this opportunity right now, we can allow more family wage jobs, insurance, and the ability for minority and women to enter into the construction field. And everyone knows that construction workers make a decent living, and so we can allow them to have that living here. So I applaud everyone that's worked on this, and I hope that we can move forward and get more participation for Portlanders, both Portlanders of minority and women, and the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Roberta Hunt, and I'm with Oregon Tradeswomen. We have a 7-week pre-apprenticeship program that prepares women for construction careers. I am incredibly excited and proud of my city for this effort and for the people that have worked so hard on it. For us at Oregon Tradeswomen, this is a great opportunity for the women that we train to have entrance into green careers. And so we hope for this to continue, and onward and upward.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. Next three will be John Gardner from CAUSE and WSI, Bernice Lopez-Dorsey from HALP, and Mano Frey from the Laborers. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. John, why don't you start?
Okay. Again, my name is John Gardner. I'm with Construction Apprenticeship and Workforce Solutions, CAUSE. CAUSE is currently being staffed by Work Systems, Inc., which is the operator for the Regional Workforce Investment System. And we're here today because CAUSE's mission is to increase the participation of women and people of color in the construction trades. And we see our partnership with the Clean Energy Works Project and the Community Workforce Agreement as a pathway forward in that goal. Like the South Waterfront Project and the PLA, or even the Port of Portland Headquarters Project and their diversity and apprenticeship utilization goals, the Clean Energy Works Portland Project and the diversity and equity that are forefront in moving forward are the way to bring more members of the community into the green opportunities that present itself going forward. CAUSE and its members and Work Systems, Inc., and I'm joined today by Andrew McGough, Director of Work Systems, and we're both here obviously in full support of this initiative, are proud to have been part of the planning of this community workforce agreement and are very excited to be part of the implementation as it goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your work.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Bernice Lopez Dorsey. I am the owner and president of Home Energy Life Performance Group, a home performance contractor, trade ally with the Energy Trust of Oregon. So I've been doing weatherization in the city of Portland and other counties for over a year now. This community workforce agreement is very exciting for me as a small owner for the opportunity to have my business growth, hire more people into the green jobs, and best of all, to improve our community. Thank you.
Well, get ready to open up your Seattle and San Francisco locations, because we want you to take over the nation from your base here in Portland. Manu.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Manu Fry, and I'm a Vice President and the Northwest Regional Manager for the Laborers International Union in North America. And I just can't tell you how pleased and proud I am to be here today with you. I have never been involved and never seen a more collaborative effort involving more groups in any community. And I want to share with you, and it may be what Susan was talking about in her initial remarks this afternoon. Last Friday, I was in Denver, and I was with Gil Sperling, who is the head of the weatherization programs and grants for the U.S. Department of Energy. And he was inquiring of those of us that were meeting with him about some of the innovative things that may be possible with some of these initial monies coming from the federal government. But more importantly, there are going to be large grants. This initial weatherization project for 500 homes is vitally important as a demonstration project to show what we can do. You're going to be able to point with pride, not just to this day, but on into the future, because the laborers are going to be providing world-class training for the weatherization work. We're going to be recruiting using the community groups that you are hearing from today and that are part of this collaborative effort. And so you're going to be able to point with pride about the decision you made and what it's going to mean to the city of Portland in jobs, in money savings for those that are going to have their homes weatherized, and eventually it's going to go certainly into the commercial buildings and businesses in this community. But Gil Sperling explained to us that they are going to be making available an RFP process next month that could mean anywhere from $80 to $100 million from the federal government. And their hope is that the communities are going to be able to leverage that up to four times or more. Mm-hmm. For Portland, that could mean $400 million in weatherization programs. And so I said, well, are you familiar with what the city of Portland is doing with the utility companies and that effort? He said, that's exactly it. I said, well, we're going to make Portland a showcase for you, Mr. Sperling, and for the country. And so it's an opportunity. This 500 homes is an opportunity to showcase Portland what we can do together in a collaborative effort and move forward looking at a much bigger prize at the end of the day. Thank you very much.
Well said. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add one more thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. And it's been said that this was quite a collaboration, and it's true. The amount of folks we gathered and brought together and actually developed a document that you can actually see and potentially pass today is very remarkable. But I'd like to give a special thank you to Derek Smith, who led sort of the team throughout this process and got us to a point where we had a document that reflected the will of so many different people from so many different places. So thank you very much.
Yay!
If I may, if I might just share one anecdote for you. I've been with the Laborers Union since I was 22 years old, and I'm
5 years ago.
Well beyond that now. And last Friday, I actually had dinner with someone that I had to look around and see if lightning was going to strike me, if the Lord was going to point at me and poke at my chest. I actually sat and had a wonderful time during dinner with someone from the Sierra Club, part of the group, wow, part of the family now. And everything was fine.
Yeah. We'll now turn to the sign-up list.
We have four people left. Bill Kendricks, Diane Riley, and Marcus Mundy. Please come on up.
Bill, did you sign up on the wrong list? Okay, so the except
either that or we're going to put time limits on you.
Yeah. And our third was?
Denise Jackson, then. Come on up.
Come on up. Welcome back to the City Council for some of you. Glad you're here. Mr. Mundy, do you want to get us started?
Sure, thank you. On behalf of the Urban League of Portland and my workforce development officer, Warren Fluker, I'm excited about the prospect of this Clean Energy Works project as well. A collaboration of this many and varied partners is both a testimony to how innovative thinking is beginning to evolve in government and a stark recognition of the need to address the changing landscape of Oregon's workforce and Oregon's population. This agreement, though, demands collaboration, communication, and vigilance to attain the previously stated goals of equity, the lofty goals that we state frequently in this process, and it's going to do something to address what was revealed, as you mentioned earlier, in our state of Black Oregon, the lack of movement there. But I think the truest test of success of this project will be outcomes that reveal that Portland's most beleaguered and downtrodden citizens, disadvantaged, low-income citizens, least educated, will be afforded the opportunities to earn a living wage for their families, to start careers and not jobs. And then they will learn skills that will help position Oregon as a leader, as a world leader in these emerging technologies. So thank you for the opportunity, and thanks for your leadership in putting this program together.
Thank you for your partnership. We appreciate it. Ma'am.
Great. I'm Diane Riley. I'm the Equity Agenda Coordinator with Coalition for a Livable Future. And our coalition is a broad spectrum of organizations that represent both environmental organizations and advocates and social justice organizations. So this particular piece of work is really kind of the crystallization of a lot of our coalition's hopes and dreams. We'd like to see a green economy that is inclusive and reflects social justice values. I'm excited about this agreement as a beginning that we need to, many of our partners recognize, needs to be followed through on. And I want to just mark the place here that's what the coalition intends to do, is mark this as a beginning and make sure that we are able to follow through and bring the promise that is so profound here in this agreement. So thanks to our partners on this, in all the city offices, as well as in the members of the coalition and beyond the coalition, and the people of Portland and Oregon who are looking for work and hoping to actually benefit from this work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jackson.
Mayor and Councilor, I'm really happy to be here, and I would like to kind of put a face on those individuals that will be having an opportunity for some of these jobs that are going to be let. I'm with Irvington Covenant Pre-Apprenticeship Training Program, and a number of our students that are hoping to find opportunities in the green jobs are single moms, single dads, husbands, wives. In our particular program, you're looking at people of color. That includes Afro-American, Native American, Hispanic. And also you're looking at a number of low-income individuals that will benefit from this. So I'd like to thank the whole coalition, the whole group that was involved. And for once, I can say that we were at the table at the beginning and not at the end. So thank you very much, and also those that was involved in this whole process.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Appreciate it. Thank you all for your testimony. Unless there's additional testimony or discussion from council, Carla, will you please call the vote?
Leonard?
This is a very exciting thing to be able to be in a position to vote for. I appreciated the collaboration, the joining together of labor and environmental groups, a dynamic of which I have been familiar with in the past that always hasn't been as healthy as we've seen demonstrated here today. So I appreciate that maybe more than some. It provides jobs to the community that needs jobs. It provides opportunities for energy savings to those that could use it most. And it's just a real great piece of work you did, Mayor Adams. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, several months ago, we passed a resolution to do things like this. And I thought, well, that's nice. And then we passed the funding mechanism for this. And I thought, well, that's nice. And here it's September 30th. And we're actually doing it. And I am overwhelmed. This is wonderful. And it's September 30th. It's 9 months into this administration. And here we are, all of us smiling and people saying that they were at the table at the beginning instead of at the end. And the Sierra Club and the laborers sitting down together. that was a nice illustration. So I first want to commend Eric Smith when it was said how well you had led this process. My staff in ONI, Judith Mary and Jerry Williams, are nodding in the first to applaud at the back. And if the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's supremo facilitators say that this was a good process, then I'm confident it was, and I'm very, very pleased. So thank you for all of your work. Barbara Bird, who was one who was telling me after the first two resolutions, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And I'm like, okay, good, let's see it. On Saturday, I was at the Jobs with Justice Salsa Party, and Barbara was briefing me on what was coming here today. And it strikes me that whether you're paid for doing what you're doing today, whether you're a volunteer, you can't tell. Because we've got people here who are so passionate about what you're doing that you're talking about it at a salsa party. And Director Susan Anderson, your leadership of this and your being able to put it together with Mayor Adams and all of the components that needed to come together, just shining through on this. So thank you for your passion and your leadership on not only the green energy part, but the jobs piece and the equity piece. I want to thank the Coalition for a Livable Future and, again, Mayor Adams for putting part of the resolution says a whereas about the Regional Equity Atlas, which as a volunteer and a board member of the Coalition for Livable Future, we worked for a long time on that. So it's satisfying to me to hear it quoted not just in the campaigns last year, but ongoing, and that we're using the data-based approach and the maps and showing visually what it is that we need to do and then coming up with a strategy on how to do it. So this is extremely exciting. It's been a lot of work, though, and I don't imagine that it was completely smooth sailing, even though it's been done so quickly. But what a precedent setting and what an example for the rest of the nation to look at Portland, Oregon, and see how we do things. And yes, we can. Aye.
Fish.
So I'm trying to figure out what the alchemy here is, because I want to be able to bottle it and use it for some other challenging issues that we have down the road. So I think it's one part stimulus money, one part climate action plan, one part equity atlas, one part partnerships with labor, faith, environmental, and other good partners of the city. The city's MWESB policies, which, by the way, Mayor and I are leading an effort through the disparity study to update. We'll have some data next year. And then you throw it all together, you bring some very talented city staff together and you manage it, you get around a table, you talk, and you work out your differences, and you come up with a community workforce agreement. Randy, it sounds like this is the model, man.
I'm with you.
I think we
I'm with you.
Let's talk. So we have a few other issues we need to address that we need the same kind of approach, but I'm very excited. I'm very pleased to see all of our friends here speaking in favor of this. It's very inspiring. And it starts with the mayor's commitment to get this thing done and to promote these green jobs. So I'm very pleased to support this. Aye.
Adams.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I just want to underscore that this agreement requires local hire of at least 80% to pay a living wage, which is defined of at least 180% of the state minimum wage, to provide access to health insurance and allocate resources for continuing education and training. It is a high bar and so incredibly appropriate to do so. I want to thank the long list of partners that have made this possible. Again, this city council has taken risks to get people back to work and to grow the economy of the future, which has to look at the social equity issues. So I'm very proud to serve with everybody. I want to thank